November 30th, 2022. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and Apple Podcast. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcast, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online digital radio, which you can listen to 24/7. You can also visit us on thesportscast.net and also on our Twitter, thesportscast1, and check us out in our app, The Sportscast for iOS. Argentina advances to the round of 16. Mexico is out, but also Tata Martino, a lot of drama in Group C. And joining us on the road, Jaime Fernandez. Welcome back to the World Cup coverage on the Sportscast.
Hi, Santiago. Hi, everybody. And thank you for the invitation. I'm super pumped to talk about the World Cup. I mean, today has been just like crazy, crazy fun.
I mean, we haven't spoken. You haven't come on yet till now. But what are your thoughts overall for this World Cup?
I think it's been brilliant. I mean, there is a lot of people that complain so much about the World Cup, about Qatar, and about this time of the year period. And I think so far I'm having a lot of fun. It's true that to watch the games is a little bit challenging between work and waking up at 5 a.m. But in general terms, I love the World Cup. I feel like a different vibe. And I love both things, like seeing teams that are supposed to win the World Cup going through, and also surprises like Australia or, I mean, just in general, Senegal probably. It's fun.
Yeah, it's definitely a different World Cup. The favorites are still coming alive so far. Let's jump into the match that you're kind of close to. Mexico beating Saudi Arabia, but they've finished behind Poland on goal difference. Saudi Arabia needed a win to go through, so they're also out after failing to capitalize on their shock victory over Argentina in the opening game. Mexico 2-1, goals by Henry Martin and Luis Chavez, and then Saudi Arabia has Salem Al-Dusawar. What was your thoughts over this match?
Well, it was a great match. It was very fun to watch. The goals were great, especially the free kick goal. I mean, it got me on the chair because it was a great free kick. I mean, Leo Messi can definitely, you know, sign for that shoot and that score. And there was a time, it was crazy, like seeing somebody send me like the chances that Mexico had before the game start. So it was fun to see that Argentina score. Okay, Mexico now, he needs another goal. Mexico score. And then Argentina score again. And Mexico score. And there was one moment that I pull out that image that they sent me. And you see with that score, which it was Argentina 2-0 and Mexico winning 2-0, they were tying Mexico and Poland. And they tied to the point that what you measure it was basically the fair play. So here's the thing, because Mexico has more yellow cards than Poland so far, they were going to be out of the World Cup, which for me, there's nothing more cruel than that. What do you think?
Okay. So the first tiebreaker is goal difference, which is, we're okay with that. FIFA Fair Play, which was introduced about 4 years ago, I believe. I don't think it was 8 years ago, 4 years ago. That's the other tiebreaker if the goal difference are the same. But then I'm thinking, what else can they do? What else can FIFA do? Do you have a solution for that?
No, because, I mean, it's more than the goal difference. First, I think it's the goal difference. Second, is the games between each other. So the thing is, the games between each other, they tie 0-0. So that's already difficult, but it's what it is, you know. But to that point, it's kind of cruel that you're going to get out of the World Cup. But, you know, to make it more fair, South Arabia ended up scoring one goal, so Mexico, that's it, game over. But I mean, if Mexico was winning 2-0 and Argentina was winning 2-0 and that's the end of the game for both games, if I was Mexican, I would be very, very pissed that I'm getting out of the World Cup for two yellow cards, for a difference of two yellow cards. But I mean, it's what you say, like what suggestions I have, I don't really know. I mean, it's what it is. You're not gonna have so many chances that teams tied so much, you know. So
did you know before the FIFA Fair Play, the other solution, or like the other way they did it, which they actually did do it, was a flip of a coin.
Well, that's if they tie in the fair play, it's a flip of a coin.
Oh wow, that's crazy.
Which as a Spaniard, let me tell you something. I think it was 1958 or 1962, like a long time ago, Spain had a chance to qualify in a World Cup. There was a game against, if I'm not mistaken, Turkey. And there was a tie in everything. So back in the days, I guess they used to flip the coin for a lot of things, right? Yeah. So they call a little Italian guy that he was an Italian little kid. They call him the Bambino. That's in Italian. And the Bambino flipped the coin and Spain got out of the World Cup and Turkey got in.
Unbelievable. So, unbelievable. I mean,
that's a story that I heard from my grandpa, man, and those type of things. It's like, imagine now, like you get out of the World Cup. You don't even play the World Cup. You don't get out of the World Cup because of coin.
Well, there you have it. Good thing we might have to do that again. Who knows? Because there's still some group play left this week. Also, who's out? Mexican coach Geraldo Tata Martino leaves Mexico. His contract was terminated, literally, he said, once the whistle was blown. Tata Martino came about, I think, 2 years ago from Atlanta United, came into Mexico. Struggling team. Yeah, a lot going on. They were phasing out of from the Chicharito years. And I heard there was a chance for Chicharito to come in, but there was disagreements between Tata or the coaching staff with him. But Tata Martino is out of Mexico. Jaime, what were your thoughts on that?
Well, I think the way that he said, I'm out in the moment that the whistle blow, is probably because he had a clause that if he didn't make it to the next round, they will kick him out. So, I mean, I feel it's the right decision because Mexico, okay, let's be honest, is not one of the top teams in the world, but we need to go back a lot of years to see when Mexico got kicked out in the first round. So, I mean, it's what I say. It's kind of sad to see Mexico going out in the first round.
Yeah, and but they had seven straight World Cups that they went to the round of 16, but could not pass into the quarterfinals.
Always they try to make it, or at least, you know, today they had the chances. But at the same time, I feel Mexico, the first two games, they didn't play good. So when you leave everything for the last game, you run the risk of like getting out. And that's going to happen tomorrow to Germany because I feel they are risking so much. And Germany might be out of the World Cup, even if they win tomorrow.
Which we'll get to that a little bit later on the show. In the other match, Argentina defeated Poland. They needed a win to get in. It was a goal second half, actually, by McAllister. Can you believe it? Kind of becoming a star. And then a goal by Julian Alvarez from Manchester City. What were your thoughts over this match, Jaime?
Well, it was great to see how Poland can be playing in just defending and hold an entire nation and all the fans included. And even with a penalty that it was like a gift because that was not a penalty at all. Even with that gift, Argentina wasn't able to make, you know, this to score the goal. But in the second half, you know, when you have the possession and you have the chances, eventually you're going to score. And let me tell you, I mean, 2-0, but I think the Juventus goalkeeper, he saved at least like 10 saves. So, I mean, if it wasn't for that goalkeeper, yeah, Chesney, yeah, it would be probably like a 6-0 today.
9 goals he saved today and a high, and 9 had a goals. High. Could have been 9 goals. He had a rating on 8.2 on FotMob. Pretty good. Probably the star of the show in Poland. This Argentina team, Jaime, they lost against Saudi Arabia. They had to grind it out with Mexico. And Poland's kind of similar, but how do you see Argentina now? Do you think they're still the favorites, or you're not impressed?
Well, I mean, the thing is, Argentina now, the next game is going to be Australia. So, honestly, I think they're going to beat Australia. Like, not easy, but they're probably going to beat Australia. And you are already in quarterfinals, and they're going to play against the winner of Holland or US. So I don't think it's a tough game for Argentina. And we will talk already about semifinals. So I know semifinals is one of those games that it could happen anything, you know, but that semifinal is going to be, if things are going the way they're supposed to go, either Brazil or Spain. So it could be like amazing World Cup, like semifinal in general terms in that side.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Let's see. I mean,
yeah, the side of the bracket where Argentina is at is pretty easy for them to get by. Obviously, going to the semifinal is going to be pretty easy. So we'll see what happens. With that, the earlier games were a little bit not as exciting as the afternoon matches, I would say. But Australia got into the round of 16 by beating Denmark, of all teams, 1-0, and Tunisia beating France 1-0. But France was pretty much already in. But your thoughts on the Socceroos, Australia?
Well, the Socceroos, I think is one of those teams that every now and then they had their chances. If I'm not mistaken, the last time they qualified for that next round was in 2006.
Correct.
That's been a little while. But I mean, they start really bad. They start losing 4-1 against France, and then they beat Tunisia. And then today it was, nobody was expecting that. I thought maybe you can expect like a tie or something like that, but never an Australian win. And yeah, I mean, they deserve it to be in the next round. Now, if you ask me, do you think they're going to keep going through? I don't think so, especially if they play against Argentina. If this was a game against, I don't know, the US or against Holland, maybe they will have chances. But to be honest, against Argentina, let's be honest. Like I don't think they have chances. But hey, they are gonna have their game, and they are gonna probably, those players, they are gonna be so excited to play against Messi, which is, you know, a legend for the majority of those players. You know,
absolutely, Messi is the star of the show in this World Cup. Group E tomorrow convenes Germany versus Costa Rica, Spain, and Japan. Jaime, Spain tied against Germany a couple of days ago, 1-1. Let's look into the Germany-Costa Rica match. How do you see this match? Is this going to be troubling for Germany, or do you think they'll handle this pretty easily?
Well, I feel it's going to be a very tight game. I don't feel Germany is going to score so many goals, because it's been demonstrated that Germany just scored 1 goal. So I feel it's going to be a tie game. I think it's going to be maybe a 2-1 or 1-0 for Germany. But at the same time, I don't know if that's going to be enough to qualify. They need, in this time, they need a favor from Spain. Because if Spain wins like 4-5-0, Germany will go to the next round.
Yeah, right now, the current group standings for Group E is Spain first, Japan at number 2, Costa Rica at 3rd, Germany at 4th. Germany has 1 point. Costa Rica has 3. Japan 3. And Spain 4. So Germany has to win against Costa Rica. And Spain has to beat Japan. Spain versus Japan. What are you hearing from the Spain camp? How serious are they? Are they going to take this match? I mean,
well, they're going to take it very serious. And also the fact that I feel that the B team of Spain, the team B, or whatever you want to call it, the substitution team, the is backup. Way better. Is way better, for example, than the France one. France pull out a team today, and you see they lose against Tunisia. But I feel Spain has so many good players. I mean, let's talk about Ansu Fati, for example. He doesn't even play a minute. Let's talk about Sarabia, who's a great player. He doesn't even play a minute. So I feel they're going to have chances tomorrow. But I still think, like, Spain has a great team. And as a rule of thumb, I will feel like this will be an easy 3-1 or 2-1. But you never know. Japan, and they're tough guys. They demonstrate against Germany that they can beat any big teams. So let's see tomorrow. I mean, I totally think Spain is going to win and it's going to go through as a first. But again, you never know.
There has been some criticism for Luis Enrique for using the old players, Busquets and Alba. What are your thoughts over that? Is that right? Or there's no other replacements? These guys have to play starting-wise.
Well, at the beginning of the World Cup, I thought that Rodrigo was going to play instead of Busquets. But apparently, Luis Enrique decided to give Rodrigo this new defender position, which nobody was expecting that. And apparently, Guardiola has been trying that with Rodrigo in Manchester City. So I guess he decided, you know what, let me try Rodrigo here. Of course, we all know what happened, 7-0. And even that second game, Rodrigo, he did a great game against Germany and stopped completely their German attack. So this third game, I think Rodrigo is not going to play because he's a little bit, you know, how do you say, like, he's been playing so many minutes that he's not tired, but yeah, he has some moments that he needs to rest, basically. And then Busquets also, he's going to rest just because the fact that you can see right now in that logo, that team thing that you put, you see that Busquets had a yellow. So I heard yesterday that if you get another yellow, then you miss the next game. So I don't think Luis Enrique wants to take that chance. So we know already Rodrigo, so Busquets will be in the bench. And I feel Koke will play there with Pedri and Gavi.
A very talented Spanish team. Like, how would you rate this roster, this squad? You think this is a good up there with 2010, or you need to see more data?
Well, I mean, 2010 is they are legends because it was not 2010 only. It was 2008, 2010, and 2012. They won 3 consecutive trophies. So that team is just one in life. It's legend. It's not going to happen again because it's very, very difficult to not say, like, it's impossible to see that again from a team. So if you compare, this team is going to lose against that team. But it's true that what I like about this team is that they are young guys that want to demonstrate to the world that they are ready. So if you think about that, what is more ambitious? The young guys, young talent, demonstrating that they can do it.
Yeah. And
probably US is in the same page. I mean, they have so many young talents that they want to demonstrate this is the best US have ever, you know? So when you have so many young guys that they never won, not only like a World Cup, but like a Euro Cup or like a big trophies, they are more hungry, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Having youth in the World Cup really helps. And we'll see what happens. On Friday, Group G, Jaime, Cameroon, Brazil, Switzerland, Serbia. What do you think is going to happen? Well, actually, first let's start Group H. Uruguay, Ghana play each other. Then South Korea versus Portugal. What do you think is going to happen in those matches?
I think Uruguay is going to win just because they need to either win or they're going out. So also when those type of teams and players, they've been in that position where either you win or you're going out. If you think about even the youngest one, like Valverde, he's been doing that with Real Madrid the last year with so many games. Luis Suarez, Cavani, like they have so much experience. Godin, Jimenez. So I feel for those type of players, they are not going to feel that pressure that either they win or they go out because they already know how to play like that. Now, for Ghana, there is going to be a lot of pressure because they know that with just a single tie, they will go through. So that's when Ghana didn't need to demonstrate the world that they got this. But they need to do it with attack because if they start defending themselves, I don't think they're going to beat Uruguay. And yeah, that's my feeling.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with that. Group G, Brazil has 6 points. And then we got Cameroon with
Portugal is one point. Portugal is going to win also that game.
Against Korea.
Yeah.
They play. So that should be a good one.
But yeah, Brazil is already through. So I think
B team again.
The thing about Brazil is even if they lose the game, I feel like, you know, between Serbia and Switzerland, that's going to be the second position because I don't think Cameroon has chances, right?
I don't think so either. I do think Switzerland is a better team against Serbia, even though Serbia has Mitrovic, but I think Switzerland is a solid neutral team.
I feel that game, it could be a tie, and a tie will benefit Switzerland. So
Correct. Yeah, Switzerland has 3 points. Cameroon has one. Serbia has one. So Serbia and Cameroon have to win to have a chance, and then Switzerland just needs a tie to just scrape in. With Neymar and Brazil, Neymar is planning to come back round of 16. Now I've been hearing quarterfinals. Can Brazil do it without Neymar, or they really need him?
Well, it all depends because think about this. If Uruguay goes through, the next game will be Brazil against Uruguay. Oof. And let me tell you, that game...
That's a classic.
I mean, if you call right now to any Brazilian fans, they will tell you, I don't want to play against Uruguay. Because they know how tough are those guys.
Yeah.
And they know each other more. They know each other more. So from that conference, you can have the normal thing is that Brazil wins, but you can have a Uruguay win in Brazil. Easy. In the other hand, Brazil against Ghana, we all know that the normal thing is going to be like Brazil winning. So I think Brazil is going to be praying that Ghana tie so they can play against Ghana in the next round. And then Portugal is going to need to play against a European, either Serbia or Switzerland. So I think for Portugal, it's a good thing also.
Let's go back into Portugal. Cristiano Ronaldo rumored to had a contract offer, did not accept with Al Sadd from Saudi Arabia. I think it's like $250 million per year or $218 million per year guaranteed. Your thoughts on that? You think Ronaldo will take it or he's going to stick in Europe?
Well, at this point, honestly, I don't know what's going on in Ronaldo's head because there's been so many rumors during September, during the last transfer window. And now they are officially kicked him out of Manchester United, which is a big thing. When a team kick you out, because you literally kick him out with nice words, but kick him out. Now Ronaldo, probably he wants to keep beating records, but he already said, like, if he wins the World Cup, he retires. Retires mean, for me, retires Ronaldo by him saying, I'm retiring, is that he's going to South Arabia.
Yeah.
So probably he told the Saudi Arabians, look, if I win this World Cup, I'm going to Saudi Arabia. But if he doesn't win the World Cup, I feel he wants to play the Euro Cup.
Yeah, I think there's one more tournament in him. Leo Messi to Inter Miami. Do you believe that rumor, or you still want to see more information?
I still want to see more information.
Why do you say that?
No, I just see Messi. He's so good, man. Like, he think about Messi in a difference with Ronaldo. First, he's younger than Ronaldo. And second, like, the position that he's turning into, it gives you more years. It gives you more chances to still play at a high level 2 years.
Yeah, and do you think Barcelona has their things together, or do you not think they're financially ready to get him back?
No, I don't think so.
Interesting.
I don't think so. I read something about the new rules of La Liga. Barcelona need to get rid of players like Busquets, Jordi Alba, well, Piqué already left, like big guys, big names, in order to bring a guy like Messi again. And even with that, if Messi comes, he will need to be like making like nothing, no money. So that will be more into Messi's decision. Like, do I want to retire and play my last year in Barcelona? He probably won't, but maybe he doesn't agree with the board of directors or with the president. I don't know. Tough decision.
Yeah, tough decision, of course. Messi does have an option with PSG. That's another thing, because he's doing well this season with PSG, this season in particular. So we'll see what happens with his news. His father is his agent. So, and he has a place here in Miami. Doesn't mean anything. Anyway, I mean, almost everyone has a condo in Miami, right? So that doesn't mean anything. Jaime, who are your favorites? I mean, as of right now, November 30th, which teams, and you can say Spain, our favorites to win this World Cup?
Well, I will say France and Brazil.
I gotcha. France and Brazil. Well, there you have it, guys. World Cup update, World Cup coverage. Jaime, what is the best way to reach you online to talk to you about Spain's odds of winning the World Cup?
I would say through Instagram, Dame Bola Podcast. That's the podcast that I have. That's the Instagram that I use all the time for soccer. And I like to put my best decisions there and keep it updated. So feel free to visit me and follow me.
There you go. Jaime is happy. I'm happy. USA is in the round of 16. You can reach us at thesportscast.net and thesportscast1 on Twitter. And on Friday, we have Francisco Flores from Mexico coming in to the World Cup coverage show and talk about his thoughts over Mexico and Tata a little bit more and preview the round of 16. Jaime Fernandez, I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
Thank you, Santiago. Thank you for the invitation, and thank you for letting me express these feelings that I have on me right now.
It could be very therapeutic, and this was your World Cup coverage.